Proszę Państwa, korzystając z tego, że artysta jest z nami, nie wiem, czy coś usłyszycie Państwo, ale będziemy próbować rozmawiać z Państwem. Czy Państwo macie już od razu jakieś pytania, które chcielibyście zadać artyście? Ale potrzebujemy, żeby pan miał... usłyszała pani. So the question was why you are using symbols from the Assyrian culture.
Yeah, it was kind of coincident because we were working on the bell in Venice and Milano in Italy. And at that moment, ISIS were destroying those artifacts. And so we saw it from, one could see it from social media and from everywhere. It was a kind of shock for us also. And we just registered it on the bell, because until that day, we didn't know which kind of decoration to put on the bell, because normally every bell has a kind of decorative elements like Maria and Jesus and ornaments. So it was just that day, that event decided to be registered by itself on the bell. So this is also how I work very often. I'm not very much into influencing my work, but I'm listening to the surrounding and what's going on. Yeah. Oh, do they hear me? Do they hear me in English and Polish? So somebody's... Ah, yeah, so they hear it. Okay, because... Yeah, because most of them don't have that's all. Yeah. Yeah, you listen to her, okay. So that's great. Yeah, so that's mainly how I'm working mostly. I'm adapting myself to the situation also, and then forcing things to take a form.
Proszę bardzo.
I would like to ask you because when I saw these metallurgy motifs in your work, metallurgy like a lot of industrial and stuff like that, is it somehow inspired by the Kurdish mythology? I mean, like a blacksmith Kava, he was like, that was, is it somehow related or not?
Yeah, thank you very much for this input. I didn't know that. I mean, I didn't think of that, but it's beautiful. So thank you. If I talk about that, I have to quote you because it's not my idea. because Kava is a very... Kurdish people are quite proud of him because he was a blacksmith and he fought the dictator, and somehow they say he killed the dictator because the dictator's name was Zohak, who had two serpents, two snakes on his shoulders, and he had to eat one head of one person every day or something, one young guy. So it's all the mythology. And then Kava, when they went and killed him with his hammer, and now Kurdish people are celebrating every 21st of March as their New Year. 21st of March, which is the beginning of spring. Yeah, which it's very nice. But no, I didn't think of that. I'm not very proud of things of my mythology. I just pass by and use them because I don't identify myself too much with where I come from. As I said in this video, I'm based on my feet, and you know. I walk, and everywhere is my country. When I go home, some people say, "Welcome home." I say, "I didn't come back from Mars. I'm from Earth." You know? So I was home, you know. So, thank you.
Yeah. Dobrze, zaraz przyniesie mi. Olenka.
Yes.
Hi, thank you. Actually, I wanted to ask you about your home, not about art, because I'm interested in about situation in Iraq now. What because you live there, yes, at the or you partly live there, or you going back there?
Yeah, I live in Berlin, but I go back and forth.
Okay.
Yeah.
So can you tell us something about the current situation in Iraq? Because I think that in Poland now, when we listen to global news, mostly like Syria is was the most important topic, I think in my mind Iraq is like what was happening in Iraq and war in Iraq. This is past, this is not, of course, a past for people who live there because they have to struggle with post-war conditions.
Yeah, well, the situation, I just, to my perspective, I would say, like, the country was before, till 2003, was under a dictatorship, and the situation was really very bad. And now, it's since 2003, it has been a place for investors and foreign investors, and it's like there's a kind of political boom, but the situation is worse than before. Even worse, you know, and you have even in 2003 there was we had a president, his name Paul Bremer, he's an American, Paul Bremer. He was our president for 11 months, and he came after Saddam, right, Hoy, and he signed money. He came to make many agreements with the government, so they set the government very fast, and they made them sign, for example, Monsanto, which we have in Iraq since 2003. And there's an agreement for selling oil for 50 years, $18 a barrel for 50 years, you know. And so the situation is like these people, one of the most expensive things in the winter, I come from the north, it's very cold, is oil. We cannot buy oil. People cannot buy oil because it's really very expensive. So just the rate of cancer has tripled. With all kind of genetic modified food or expired food, and it's really like it's just what neoliberals do. They go to a country and they just leave it with they didn't leave it yet, but they did this ruin yet. The ruins you can see it in these shopping malls. They build every day a big shopping mall, and people, as Aneta mentioned also with the photo of one room apartment, people are so much, we're so much greedy about becoming European or becoming Westerners and having this individual freedom, and we want to live like the West and we want Americans to come. But then they realize that no, it's also not the those promises of freedom, it's not true. It was and the work of Lemon Test of Apple, the demonstration, you will see that it's that day where people have enough of the new Kurdish government and then also of these American promises to bring democracy to the country. And that's the situation of the country, unfortunately. Stefania, do you have a question? No.
A question that you can speak a little bit of the installation in the castle.
Ah, thank you. I will. Thank you for the question. It's good. It's an important question. Well, the installation in castle was it's an anecdote, or how it's called, it's a lie. It's a reality. It happened to somebody. I always talk about his stories, and I call him K. Okay. And then this guy lived in Athens, in Greece. He was coming as a refugee from Turkey, then Greece and Italy to Europe. And then he was staying in Patra, where he has to go from Greece to Italy to hide in the truck, in the big car, to hide and to go to the other side. And there was a refugee camp there. They built it by themselves. And there were lots of pipes, you know, this is what you saw, these pipes. And everyone was living in his room, and everyone had to live in a different way, because normally you live in your room, you have enough space to stand up, but there is a room where you have to lay down, and it's not only my work, it's a collaboration. It's the pipes are my ideas, and the works from inside are works of the students I invited. So it's I invited them, everyone, to make his own artwork in my artwork. So it's definitely it's not the yeah. Good question. Thank you. Yeah.
Hi. Thank you. And I'd like to ask, what is the, let's say, how do people from other parts of the world, as you said, it's one. For you, everywhere is same, right? A little bit. So how others perceive the problems that you talk about, that you're talking about, I mean, in your art, do they perceive it also as their own problems?
All of my own problem or their own problem?
The problems that you present in your art.
Yeah, every problem.
Do they get it as their own as well or not?
Yeah, I got the question. Thank you. It's a very nice question too. It's every problem is our problem. It's not your problem or my problem. So if there's a problem, there's a problem in between. There is a problem of communication. There is a problem of hegemony or dominance. So this is what I'm talking about. I'm not talking as Kurdish or Iraqi person parasiting on his pain and wounds and say, you guys, you are doing that to me. No, I'm German too. I live since 22 years in Europe. Half of my life I lived in Europe. So, you know, there is no you and me. So we are all in the same problem now at the moment. So it's for me it's a big responsibility to show some works to Western people also, or people who have influence or should have influence on their governments to make right decisions. As Polish person, you should know that Poland is sending army to Iraq to fight and to kill people also. But I don't mean that it's only bad. Also, when they were fighting also a dictator who was killing also people, and we had like 182,000 Kurdish genocide against Kurdish people. And but just it's good to know that power relations. And for me, it's just, as I said, I'm adapting myself to the situation. I'm even not an artist in this sense. I'm more managing those projects together. They are bringing them together. People are making their bells since in Italy. These guys are it's 700 years old, that foundry. And the other guy is melting also. He's making his business. I'm not doing something special. And the news is coming, and I see ISIS destroying this. So I just mediate between them somehow. So it's So it's not a work of a genius, thank God.
So to follow up on what you just said, what is responsibility of this mediation? Which is coming with this mediation? What does it mean for you to politically mediate, to be mediator?
Yeah, to mediate is just to unmask what people get from the news and filtered news, and so it's most of the projects are about unmasking that, or just giving them first-hand experience, also how things are in reality. Even it's still a subjective thing, because I am one person also lived there and living here, but I think it's more, it has more truth than what you get from TV. I think I'm working with lots of responsibility, but still I say it's subjective. It's still, I'm one individual and I have my opinion. Yeah. Yes, please.
Can you tell us about your journey from Iraq to Europe to Berlin, how it all happened and what were different stages of it?
The different stages. It's just I didn't, as I said before, so my first arrival, imagine I'm 24, just arrived, and as I still had this understanding of not being Eastern or Western. I always hated this, or making bridge out of them. So the first thing, I went to a discotheque, and I saw one guy and two girls, and so my place was free. So I took four beers, and you know, and I started to say, "And what happened?" So as if I was 23 years of my life in the toilet, I just came back and say what I'm saying. I'm a part of you guys, you know, like just include me, you know. So it's that was it's a nice metaphor for my start in Europe, and it was like, okay, what else? So they were talking, they thought I'm crazy also, just you know, like so that was of course living also in Europe at the beginning. It's especially, I lived also in Holland, which was very hard, because they never accept you when you are like this. They accept you always when you come with your ornaments, with your pain, with your wounds, and you know, you stereotype yourself, and that's it was a horrible place. That's why I stopped making art for a long time. As long as I lived in Holland, I was not making art, so it's because because of this situation, you know, they want you only when you're also in Germany. It's like this sometimes, because they don't accept that you can speak for yourself, you know, as individual. Or they always see you also in some activist atmosphere, environments also. When you start talking a bit, they say, hey, you say too much now, actually. We want you as wounded Iraqi. That's it. And that's it's a hard thing. So the start was like this. And yeah, it's a long, long story. I'm writing my autobiography since 3 years now, and still I'm it's not finished. Hopefully you will get one copy one day. Yeah. Yes.
It happened, I mean, physically.
Yeah, it's really very hard situation to you have nothing to lose. Of course, you take away the, back then it was not like as easy as now. Before, in the 90s, end of 90s, they shoot you just, and you have the possibility of being shot 50%, and the possibility of making it and going to Europe 50%, and not Europe first, to Turkey 50%. But of course, your situation is so bad that you say, if I make it, I'm happy. If I don't, if I'm killed, I'm happy too, because I don't want to go back to that situation. So there are moments where you, it's worse than death. And that's why also I'm very much criticizing this kind of photos, you know, of this Kurdish child being drowned by the shore, and you know, making a drama out of it. You know, I've seen many children, you know, like in worse situation than that. And I think if my art or my attempt is not about talking about people like that, but I'm just talking about people who cannot afford the luxury of getting drowned in the sea. It's a luxury to get drowned there. And it's just like 4-5% of the people, but 95% of the people, they don't have that luxury to die in the sea, you know. Yeah. Yes, please.
I just wanted to ask, because I imagine you were an artist also before you came to Germany. So you were quite a young person then in Iraq, back in Iraq. So what was your art about when you were still living in Iraq? I can imagine it was totally different, but was it also politically influenced, or it was more like different or simply?
Yeah, it's back then we were more associating ourselves more with the somehow German expressionism, and it's very strong also there because among the painters, and I started as a painter. Also, there was a, I don't know, it was a repetition, a copy of the West, or it was after every war you go into this mood of expressionism, and also like. There was a wave of existentialist philosophy. You know, people were very much interested. There were so many books of Sartre and Simone de Beauvoir, and those Camus was circulating around us. Using of kind of drugs also. It was kind of post-war, you know, or during the war. So it influenced the art. They were another different kind of art also. We were and all the generation were very influenced by the social realism of Russian, yeah, because Iraq was alliance with the Soviet Union. So our professors, they all studied in Moscow and those areas. So that was also that wave of art, yeah. Of course, when you come to Europe, then you realize either you have to work, as I said, in this ornamental way that you have to fulfill the expectation of the West from you. You should shut up and be a stupid but beautiful artist, you know, or you have to give up. And it's many artists are suffering nowadays when they come here. They cannot make it upper because they don't want also to. Some of them do this kind of ornaments and beautiful, but very often they know that it's a big lie and they just have to survive. Yeah.
I just like actually make a small follow up of that question, and it's like when you visiting Iraqi Kurdistan, you are seeing that it's quite rich already. Like there is a lot of richness because of this neoliberal development. You see a lot of fancy cars and stuff like that. But at the same time, in my opinion, like from the perspective of the people who is there, culture is super underdeveloped. I mean, there is not so many bookstores, there are not so many museums and stuff like that. What's your observations about the, like a contemporary culture in Iraqi Kurdistan? Is it developing, or it's like about what you are saying about the greediness and the money is the first thing, not the culture?
Well, it's actually not in that sense. It's I think culture was much better in our times in the 90s and 80s, where we were exchanging books in secret, discreetly. And you know, we had to cover books with newspaper, or you know, the cover of the book, or putting it in the black plastic bag. Hey, this is from Capital of Marx, you know, or this is this, or, you know. But we had like in tea houses, we had so many discussions also between us, and every one of discussions, if they catch you, you can lose your life, you know. So that those days we were quite fighting for, you know, it was until you got a book from somewhere. You had some. I remember I went for a book of Paco Peña, the guitarist with whom I studied after in Holland. I went to kilometers to another city, to Erbil. There was a book. I wanted to copy it, and I couldn't get it. So the greed, or the, not greed, the thirst or hunger for knowledge was much, much more. And that's, it's a very nice metaphor also with everything, with consumerism and everything. Like I told also, before we were in a mood of hunger. We were in a state of hunger. And now we are in a state of throwing up, you know. You know, because we get so many bad goods. How do you call it? Bad things to eat, bad knowledge, bad information. I mean, everything is bad, and nobody's happy. Like my sister's family, they have five, and they have five cars. And just imagine, in the country, in a city, you cannot live. You know, you cannot breathe. It's a city of cancer, because it's when you see it from the mountain, you see a black cloud everywhere, and it's a funeral. It's they are dying, actually, and dying from what they wanted to have. They wanted to have cars. They wanted to have freedom. I see people like we used to see each other with friends every day, and now they don't meet once a month. Even some people I know, brothers and sisters, and so that's what I was talking about in one room apartment work. Yeah. Yeah. He has a question. No, but he has a question.
Chciałam się zapytać, być może ja czegoś nie dosłyszałam, co mówiła tutaj pani. Dlaczego właśnie Panteon, dlaczego właśnie kasetony Panteonu stały się takim, że warto było zrobić z nich te odlewy? Czy dlatego, że były z brązu też, czy dlatego, że to się łączy jakoś z tym dzwonem, który też jest z brązu, czy nie, to zbyt proste. No, ciekawi mnie to. Piękny jest ten rysunek taki grecki, klasyczny. Czy to jakoś ma coś wspólnego z renesansem? Bo to jakoś mi to się wszystko nie układa do końca w mojej głowie. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a really very important question. What do you want? Yeah, it's so first when I went, I was going to, because since 2009 I wanted to do this bell, and it was very costly. And back then I didn't have nobody would respect me also as an artist to say, okay, come, we will produce. Yeah, with some exceptions. Yeah. And so I started to make a research to make another project. And what I really like, and also in works, jokes, as I said, as you see, or rumor, or anecdotes. And so I came across this rumor where they say what the barbarians didn't do, did the barbarinis. And I was just, that's my way of work. So I just took this thread. And then, exactly. So I took this thread and I pull, and until something comes out of it. That's sometimes I come with nothing, you know. I end up with nothing. Yeah. But also, like, it's good that you ask this question also to elaborate more. Also, like, it's very important that. That the West accused somebody else always for its own problems. And then that Italian people, they say, okay, now we know, it's a moment of unmasking. They say what the barbarians didn't do, because normally everything, the barbarians are very dangerous and they come to, you know. But we do more than they do. So that's about that, maybe. So, yeah. But I agree with you. It has been. I was asking myself after the exhibition finished. I say we are giving really lots of significance to that work because of the drawing again, and that's coming back. It's taking over somehow the exhibition. But it's nice. It's a nice transition, also. I think very good question.
Ja się tak zastanawiam, jeżeli chodzi tutaj o stworzenie tych materiałów, które były przedstawione. Czy te materiały, które były wykorzystywane w tworzeniu całej ekspozycji, czy były one związane z twoim imieniem, które znaczy nadzieja? Nadzieja jest ważna. Yeah. Czy tak naprawdę nadzieja jest przedstawiona tylko i wyłącznie z elementami ekspozycji?
Yeah. I'm very lucky that there are only good questions today. Very good questions, yeah. Yeah, it's actually the title of the exhibition would be too long if we say, because it's an anecdote when people say, my name means hope, and people say, what's your name? I say, highly unlikely, but not impossible. So and then I say, Hiwa means hope, so it's that's what starts. But I find it a very good question because it brings us to another chapter of my life, which I'm not producing new works anymore. All they are old works, and since more than a year. And when I see the global violence, and I see our position as activists and artists, that we are not making any progresses, and populism is getting much stronger all the time. Capitalism is expanding everywhere, and it brings me to another. level of giving up somehow, because there are three levels of change, what Muhammad is talking about. The first one is to change with your hands, which means revolution, and we can forget about that. The second level is with your mouth, which with your tongue, which is protests and critique, and this which I'm doing in my work, and probably all artists are doing, and activists. And the moment where you are completely in a tyranny, and you have no any possibility of doing anything, which we are in that tyranny. We are in a totalitarian system directed by the neoliberal economy, which is infiltrating into all parts of our lives and deciding their relations by, you know, deciding of price and how, you know, value. I wouldn't say value even. So on this level, he says you go to the heart. And I know it sounds really very, it's romantic, and I know it's kind of career suicide for me too, because I've started to be, people, I sound like a Buddhist or monk or something, sitting somewhere and meditating. And 2 years ago, I was laughing at such people, but I think we are in that situation now that we have nothing to change. We have to hold together, and it's like being drowning in water, and you have nothing to hold but water itself. And at that moment, you have to go to the heart, and whether where left wing and right wing can coexist, because there is no association with any collective ego, which you are Marxist or which you are left or right or what. I have nothing to say because of the situation of those countries of Africa and also other countries, the global warming. In 30 years, just imagine countries like that will be around 90 degrees, like it's just, they will be burned alive. So we are talking about 400 million refugees. Just imagine, people are not thinking about that. And Europe will not have that space for, even they don't have space for Greek people and Italian, because they all have to come to north also. So we are living in the best time of our planet. Actually, we don't realize that, but the worst, the bad days are about to come. And we have to find another practice, and we have to become nurses now. We were soldiers till now, and when the battle comes to our streets, we start to become nurses. So I'm finding another practice in my, I don't do any art now at the moment, but I don't know what I'm going to do, but I become a nurse. And I think this is the heart level which I'm going to, and that's why if we meet there, all of us, it sounds very romantic, again, I say it, I admit it, but it's like highly unlikely, but not impossible. That's what I mean by highly unlikely. It's, if we have a hope, it's 0.1%. You know, because it's just, if you imagine, four million refugees changed the political landscape for decades. You know, just imagine, we are talking about around hundreds of millions now. And yeah, unfortunately, the climate is on their side, on the side of populists, and there is nothing to do but to go to the third level. To go to the third level and coexist with them and just love, maybe. And I know I sound like Jesus also, I know, but it's, we have, as I said, there is nothing to hold but water. You can take, it's a moment where we are laughing at it at now. Just imagine what I talked about, and the media are not talking about, not to make panic, that big panic, because that would be really, yeah. That's why I'm actually, I will invite you also when we finish to, when I am invited for talks at the end, I like you to have few minutes of silence together without thinking too much, just trying to feel how you know, try to feel how we are sitting with each other at that moment and breathing together, maybe. I do my last talks always at the end. Sometimes it goes a few minutes, sometimes I don't know. And if we finish with the questions, if you like, we can... it's not a sad thing. It's maybe we can give birth to another era. We don't know. We have to lose a lot to find something else. Maybe we will wake up from this nightmare and we redream. You know, we decide about another dream, because but it hasn't been that bad yet. We are going towards that, and for that we have to prepare a generation to withstand, to survive it, to fast, to stand hunger, to not to consume, you know, to meditate. We have to bring meditation to schools, you know, and, instead of competition, we have to make them collaborate with each other. And we have to dissolve ego. Maybe it's the only thing we have to do is to listen to the East now, because after the West destroyed everything, you know, like, maybe that's what we have. I think protests and those things are making those guys even more aggressive. And as Jesus said, love your enemy. maybe we should start loving them. You know, I have nothing else to say. I know. If 2 years ago somebody would talk like this, I would stand up and go out. You know, and say, what is this stupid monk is talking about? But I'm talking about a situation where you don't have anything, because the battle is coming into houses and to streets. And you must become a nurse. You have nothing else. You cannot fight.
Ja mam pytanie do Anety. Thank you, Hiwa. I think it's, for me, it's a wonderful idea. I would like to join to you in this moment of silence. It's very needed, I think. I agree. Chciałam, Aneto, ciebie zapytać o twoją drogę z Hiwą i jak to się stało, że się spotkaliście i no, ta droga nie kończy się pewnie tutaj, ale ten moment, w którym jesteśmy też poza tym budynkiem, tak? Poza sztuką też jest jakoś znaczący i on znowu dla waszej dwójki być może też, tak, dla waszej relacji. Czy mogłabyś coś o tym powiedzieć? Jeżeli to nie jest zbyt trudny temat.
How to begin? Myślę, że tutaj bardzo ważne jest to, że czasami się zdarza kuratorce czy kuratorowi znaleźć artystę, który uosabia to, czego chcemy od sztuki. No i dla mnie Hiwa jest taką osobą. Pracowałam z wieloma artystami. Przez lata, bo bardzo lubię pracować długofalowo z artystami, ale nigdy nie miało to takiego poziomu jakby zaangażowania intelektualnego, emocjonalnego. I to jest też bardzo ciekawe, że to Hiwa zainteresował mnie Bliskim Wschodem, sytuacją geopolityczną. I to, że podróżowaliśmy w tamtym rejonie, to, że mogłam zobaczyć skutki globalnej ekonomii i skutki globalnej polityki w życiu prawdziwych ludzi, którzy tam funkcjonują, było kompletnym odwróceniem mojego świata. Także w pewnym sensie ja się też wykorzeniłam jako Polka, można powiedzieć. Bo teraz mam jakby dwa kraje odniesienia, to znaczy oczywiście zawsze mówię z punktu widzenia Polski, ale też moim krajem odniesienia jest iracki Kurdystan i wszystko, czego tam doświadczyłam. Przepraszam, ale to są bardzo emocjonalne sprawy dla mnie.
Trudne to nie.
Before we start, I really think one of the things we can dissolve also this tragedy is comedy, you know. And laughter is one of the things which remind us what we are doing. It doesn't matter what it is, it's a theater. And a theater, as kids, when we are born, we enter into language and we become subject. It's a subject of signifier and signified. So this kind of slowly you enter this theater without knowing it's a scenario. It has a scenario. And I think one of the things is laughter. And when you laugh, you know, you realize that it's. And we laugh with the energy or with the. When you laugh, you open your heart. When you laugh, it's like you forgive someone. Have you ever forgive someone like completely? It's like falling in love, you know. And that's the nursery what I'm talking about. So one second, I tell you a joke because I really want you to laugh first. When I was in Venice, one collector came and he saw the Bell Project and he said, "Hiwa, when I see your work, I cry." I say, "Don't cry, bye."
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you very much. So,
students of what?
Well,
I like art students. No, I'm more like I'm invited to teach. I don't know what to teach. I don't know, you know, just listen to their stories. I tell my stories. Just till I cannot teach because it's sad that to teach them something, you know, they have their own path. It's very hard to even to help them to find their own path. You know, it's I was offered the teaching position later, I realized that it's very risky to do that. You know, it's a big responsibility to teach. They say you have to teach. I say cheat, not teach. You mean cheat? So it was.
Ale z tym ja się też zgadzam, że tak samo jak kiedy ja jestem proszona o uczenie kuratorstwa. Nawet przez pewien czas uczyłam na studiach kuratorskich w Krakowie. Występowałam w większości ważnych szkół kuratorskich z różnymi prezentacjami, ale uważam, że po prostu to nie jest coś, to znaczy tu nie chodzi o jakby techniki przygotowywania wystaw, tylko raczej o tym, jaka jest nasza prawda sztuki. I jakby dlatego ta nasza praca jest nieprzekazywalna. Możemy przekazać tylko to, że musisz być sobą, musisz być uważny, musisz patrzeć na świat, słuchać artystów, ponieważ oni są takim medium bardzo wrażliwym, które pozwala nam widzieć więcej albo widzieć inaczej. Bo dla mnie współpraca z Hiwą to jest też taka ogromna zmiana perspektywy. I to jest coś, za co jestem bardzo, bardzo wdzięczna. Dziękuję.
Of course, me too. As you say, whether I have students or teacher, but we were always swapping sweet students and teaching with Aneta. We were always learning from each other for so many, for a decade and a half. And that's... It's so amazing that finally we had a show together, a solo, big solo show here in Warsaw, in her country. And it's I'm sure that's not the last collaboration with Aneta. And yeah, we are all learning from each other all the time. I invite you to tune. There is a tone. We have to tune our strings to, and actually his silence. There is a silence which he has. He's not hearing us what we are saying. I'm very much inviting you that we tune to his hearing, and without. Just, I don't know how many seconds or minutes it would take. Just try not to. Don't try to meditate or something, but don't try also to go thinking and over-associating with things. Just let's experience the space together. So sad to break it, but yeah, thank you so much for everyone. Thank you.
Oh, you made me cry.
Yeah, don't cry. Bye.
Thank you very much.